You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Monday afternoon, starting just a bit early so that we can get you on the phone lines to join us this afternoon with a financial contribution for agricultural programming at WILL AM 580. I'm Todd Gleason in studio with us. Uncle Dave Dickey, or the Director of Ag Programming, we call him Uncle Dave when he opens his wallet up, and he's doing that this afternoon. If enough of you call in, he'll add $250 to the till out of his back pocket. If you want to get into that and pick his pocket, why not? Call 217-244-9455. Dave, you're not the only one that's in on this afternoon. Some others, too.
Indeed, that is the case. We have five great business partners who have pledged $1,250 when we hear from 100 people during this pledge period. We have 41 calls to go on that. And when we get those 41 calls, Bates Commodities, AgriGold, Caden, EFG Risk Management Commodities, and the Andersons will contribute $1,250. And to get those phones ringing this afternoon, I'm putting $250 out of my back pocket on the line as well. When we hear from 25 agricultural subscribers by 3 o'clock thus far already, Todd, we've heard from three, Charles Grotevant in Buckingham, David and Sarah Reed of Charleston, and Mr. and Mrs. Frazee of Windfall. Be the next to call at 217-244-9455 with your pledge of financial support.
Absolutely. The number is 217-244-9455, or Dave, they can hit the website. It is
WILLpledge.org, 217-244-9455, or willpledge.org.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 20th day of April, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the Senior Grains Analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Hey, don't forget, in 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. And along the way, we'll hear the first in a series of stories produced from our interview with Emerson Nafziger. Today, we'll review planting dates and the impact it has on potential total yield. As a reminder, the earlier the date, generally speaking, the more the potential. Hey, that sounds the same as we feel about you calling in with a financial contribution to support the Closing Market Report. The earlier you dial this number, 217-244-9455, the more likely we'll reach our yield goals. So don't delay and dial right now at 217-244-9455 with your financial support for the Closing Market Report, because, of course, it is a production of public radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
The numbers in Chicago on a Monday afternoon finish the day like this. Nearby May wheat down 18.5 cents today for 504.5 the settlement price. July, the harvest month, 18.5 lower at 516.25, and September at 543.25 down 9 cents. July hard red winter wheat in Kansas City, 11.5 cents lower to settle at $5.68. May corn, 369.5 in Chicago, 6.75 lower. July at 378.75 down 7 in the September, 387.75, 7.5 cents lower. December futures at 398.75 down 8.25 for the harvest month. And March 2010, $4.105 down 9 cents. May oat futures 7.25 lower at $1.81.75. Soy complex, May beans, $10.18.5 down 32.5. July at 10.11.5 down 30. August at $9.83, 30 cents lower. November at $9.03 down 32. And the January 2010 contract for the soybeans at $9.10.25 down 34.25. May meal at $3.19.20 down 7.40. May oil at $35.45 down 1.32 on the afternoon. April live cattle at 87.37.5, 95 cents lower. April feeders at 98.55, down 62.5. And the May lean hogs at 70.92.5, down $1.32.5. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what a quick look at the outside markets look like at this hour. crude oil $4.45 lower, ethanol down 3 4/10 of a cent, May gas at 19 3/10 of a cent lower for the natural gas. The RBOB gasoline down 8 2/10 of a cent, diesel fuel at 9 4/10 of a cent lower, and propane futures managed to gain 1/10 of a cent. They're at settlement price at 65 cents even. The Dow at 78.61 is down just about 270 points, and the U.S. dollar at 86.62 is up 0.73 on the afternoon. Dave Dickey is in studio with us right here at WILL AM 580, the flagship station for the Closing Market Report. It is a public radio station, and that means that we involve you in our financial future. Dave, each and every year, WILL raises money, puts it in the bank by June 30th, and whatever is there is what we get to spend for that coming fiscal year. That's rather unique, and it's fairly conservative. It's a great way to do business as long as we get participation from our listeners.
Indeed, that is the case, and the goal for this particular pledge drive is $200,000, Todd. Just handed a note a moment ago. We're about at $110,000, so just about $90,000 to go in this pledge period, and we have until about 10 o'clock tomorrow morning to get as close to that number as possible so that we can continue to support the programs that people value, like our agricultural programming. You can go to the phone now and say that you indeed support agriculture at 217-244-9455. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express card. And when you do, you'll also know that you'll be getting into Dave Dickey's back pocket today, because when we hear from 25 listeners by 3 o'clock in support of agricultural programming, I will give $250. 217-244-9455, the number to call.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, Hudsonville, Illinois, and Crescent City, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
On the line with us this afternoon to take a look at the agricultural futures markets is somebody who supports the radio station. In fact, he, along with the folks at Caden EFG and the Andersons and AgriGold and Risk Management, are adding $1,250 to the kitty here at WILL. Remember, this program is publicly funded. It's a productive partnership with you, the listener, and Kurt Kimmel and company up at Bates Commodities are helping out. Thank you very much, Kurt, for your contributions. And remember that you can get into Kurt's back pocket a little bit, Dave Dickey's back pocket a little bit. All you have to do is dial a number, and the number is 217-244-9455. To pledge your financial support for the Closing Market Report. Hi, Kurt. How are you this afternoon?
Very good, Todd. Thank you.
It was an ugly day on a Monday, wasn't it?
Yeah, we saw negative signs from the get-go there. Basically, outside markets dominated the trade most of the session, with crude oil at one time pushing $5 lower, the Dow almost 300 lower. Quite a bit of liquidation taking place as the D's corn failed to hold $4 support, and November beans failed to hold this 930 support area. Funds sold about 10,000 corn going into midday, 6,000 wheat, and about 7,000 beans, so a lot of liquidation. I would not be surprised to see volume in open interest tomorrow morning show a decline in open positions, but a little bit of encouragement in the corn as we got the selling pressure out of the way there in the first part of the session. We saw the corn market climb out of the hole. Forecasters did add moisture back to the forecast for the next few days and even the next week, so we're sort of at the mercy of the weatherman here. It'd be nice to see December corn get back above $4. We could do that. The corn market should be able to regroup and get something going out of the oversold status. Beans, this is the first hard break we've had in the old crop beans for some time. We had the reversal down there on Friday, follow through today. They might have just a little bit more to the downside yet, but we expect to see a little bit of recovery. The concern is seasonally here as we start to get into late April, early May, the trend has a tendency to roll over, so we need to watch it real close. But the number one concern is trying to get corn in the ground here in the eastern Corn Belt, as producers are probably going to be fighting this weather for another 2 weeks yet.
And by the way, if you're trying to make a phone call in, please be patient and continue to call with your financial support. We're moving along quite nicely today. Just 19 calls left to fill in with Dave Dickey here. We'll put in $250 if we get another 19 calls by 3 o'clock this afternoon. And if you're working on that, just call us at 217-244-9455. And Kurt, they're going to get in your back pocket if we get another 38 calls. I bet we get that one done for sure. So one way or the other, give us
a call.
Bring it on. 217-244-9455 is the number to call. I was talking to a few folks before I went on the air, and the folks at AgriGold, who are also in on this sponsorship with us, they not only underwrite, as does Bates Commodities, but they also are on the sponsorship with us for the extra financial support of that $1,250. The folks at AgriGold sent us a note this morning. It showed there was some movement of corn planters, especially in the northeastern part of Iowa, where their RSMs seem to think about half of the crop is in the ground at this point. I called the president of the Minnesota Farm Bureau just before going on the air, talked to him. He hadn't moved. He's about 100 miles straight south of St. Paul and 30 miles north of the Iowa border. Said they really hadn't moved much, but he was listening to our farm broadcaster friend up there in Minnesota from the Linder Farm Network, Lynn Kettleston. And they had opened the lines up. They had a producer who had 900 acres in the ground and was going to finish up. So places are moving at this point. Despite the wet weather, there are some places that have got corn in the ground at this time. I wonder, Kurt, from Commodity Week and listening to analysts, other analysts, they've been awfully bearish in the near term, but there is some underlying feeling that the market has support. Are you in that camp?
Well, I think we've probably reached in corn an area where we can consolidate and then see some type of recovery bouncing through here. Corn's basically broken almost 45, 50 cents off the highs there. And beans might be a little different story here, where we've rallied $2 off those March lows and we can maybe back and fill a little bit more. But I'm in the camp that maybe we've seen the low here for a few days and have some recovery. As far as a major recovery, it's just going to depend on the weatherman and see how this planting progress goes. After last year, the trade's really not hesitant to add a whole lot more weather premium until we get into the first part of May. This afternoon's planting progress report's expected to show corn anywhere from 5 to 10% planted as a nation. Like you mentioned there, we saw quite a bit of progress up in that northwest area. But we've got to remember, a year ago as a nation, we were only about 4% planted at this time, and next week about 10% planted at this time. So about another 2 weeks, we'll tell the story on corn planting progress.
How concerned are you about the break in the bean market?
Well, I think it's a correction here. I think old crop's still going to have some spunk to it. This morning we sold 120,000 tons of beans to unknown destination and 110 to China. So old crop bean crop demand remains real strong. New crop price potential, I think there's quite a bit of downside risk in new crop beans. So once this old crop demand runs its course here, we feel that there's a $1, $1.50 down in the new beans. We feel that bean acres are going to increase anywhere from 2 to 3 million acres as we go into the next few reports, Todd.
If the producers need to do anything to protect themselves other than to take the what they've done already with crop insurance on this particular move to the downside? Are they well enough protected early enough in the season, not really having to worry about it yet?
Well, we feel that crop insurance is a good program, but in order to collect, you're going to have to see prices go lower, and you still don't have the cash grain sold, per se. And two, that protection only takes you into December. So we feel you still need to make some sales. At this point in time, we would recommend put protection. If the market continues to go lower, you've got some downside coverage in place. If the market would recover on wet weather or hot, dry weather later on this summer, you still got the cash grain to sell a little bit higher. But we'd recommend hedging here with some put options. It's fairly simple, and it's a conservative way to help manage some risk.
Any final word before I let you go for the day?
Yeah, I hope you do well on your pledge drive.
Thank you.
Everybody likes to tune in. You've got good information. You do a good job. But two, I like to mention the analysts you have on your program. I've known a lot of them for a long time, and compared to the big-time analytical firms who really just put out a recommendation once in a while, a lot of analysts you have on, really give it heart and soul, and they really do come up with good ideas to manage risk. So I congratulate you on having a good selection of analysts to be on your program there, Todd.
And you, of course, are among those. Thank you very much, Kurt, for all you do. And thank you, and to Bates Commodities there, and to Pete Manhart for chipping in as well. We appreciate it all.
Very good.
Have a good day.
Take care.
That's Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Monday afternoon. And he, along with Pete Manhart and the whole Bates Commodities crew, are part of a group that's putting up $1,250. They include AgriGold Hybrids, Risk Management Commodities, the Andersons, Caden, EFG as well. If we hear from 100 supporters of agriculture, our own director of ag programming, Dave Dickey, will put in another $250. If by 3 o'clock on this Monday afternoon, and some of you folks are listening to this delayed, so I'm going to say by 5 o'clock this afternoon, maybe, let's do that. Dave will put in the extra $250 if we hear from, well, a few more folks. He wants 25 in total. Dave, how are we doing so far?
Well, Todd, we're making great progress against that $250 Dave Dickey Uncle Dave challenge. We have 13 phone calls to go. 13 phone calls to go to pick Dave Dickey's back pocket for $250 at 217-244-9455. And in the bigger challenge, that means 32 calls to go for the big $1,250 challenge from our five great business partners, AgriGold, Caden, EFG, Risk Management Commodities, the Andersons, and AgriGold Hybrid. And also, the other number to keep in mind is we just hit the $111,000 mark, and that's great, Todd. That means just $89,000 to go for our overall fund drive goal of $200,000 by the end of this fund drive at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning.
217-244-9455 is the number to call.
Or at willpledge.org.
Right. And if you can't get to willpledge.org, if you can't remember it, you can always, of course, hit the one you do remember. That's willag.org, willag.org. That's our homepage for agriculture. And just hit that big blue light bulb up in the corner. Either way, dial that number now or go online at willpledge.org. 217-244-9455. Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. Cash is king. You can write us a check, too, if you'd like.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Don't forget to dial into that number. It's 217-244-9455 or visit the website at willag.org and hit that big light bulb up in the corner to pledge your financial support online. By the way, while you're there, a couple of other things. You can listen to this program there anytime you'd like. You can also download as a podcast or sign up for our free weekend newsletter. It's all at willag.org. Most importantly today, hit the light bulb and pledge your financial support online or call the number 217-244-9455. Up next now, potential corn yield in the state of Illinois is already being lost because of the planting delay so far this season. That'll come as a surprise to some. I'll have more on the reasons why and explore the research that uncovered the data next. A University of Illinois study was started 4 growing seasons ago to update data farmers used to make corn replanting decisions. It stretched corn planting dates from as early in April as it was possible to get into the field through the end of May at 6 locations from the top to the bottom of Illinois. Each trial included a series of different plant populations in order, says University of Illinois Extension agronomist Emerson Nafziger, to lay out parameters farmers can use to make replanting decisions about a suffering corn crop. As it happens, the 4-year study also updated some information about how planting delays affect potential corn yield. Even says Emerson Nafziger, when you include a very odd year like 2008.
So what do the data that we're willing to accept then and put into the average, what do they tell us? The last 10 days of April, we lose about a half bushel per day. The first 10 days of May, we lose about a bushel per day. The second 10 days in May, we lose about a bushel and a half per day. And for the last 10 days of May, we lose about 2 bushels per day.
Here's how Nafziger put the same information in newsletter form. He wrote for the April 10th edition of the University of Illinois Pest Management and Production Bulletin, quote, planting on May 1 is expected to yield only 7 or 8 bushels less than planting on the optimum date in southern and northern parts of Illinois, and less than that, only about a bushel less than planting on the optimum date, which is April the 20th, in central Illinois. So delays in planting until past the end of April, though they cost some yield, do not automatically mean large yield losses. Planting even 2 or 3 weeks after the optimum date might well produce higher yields than planting into cool, wet, compacted soils closer to or before the optimum date. End quote.
I don't think there's any sense of additional alarm. I think we've worked ourselves into a state of believing that anything planted after May 1 is, you know, really destined for some low yields, or that the yields can't be high. Last year told us that yields can be high if planted after May 1. More than half of our corn was, and we still had high yields. And we'd certainly much rather be sitting here looking at a good start to planting by the middle of April. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. It's not going to be the case in 2009 any more than it was in 2008.
2008, by the way, was a very unusual year. The fact is, says Nafziger, the data from a trial in the southern part of the state showed the later the corn was planted, the higher the yield became. That's not typical, and he heavily discounted the anomaly. Still, it points to the possibilities. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Hi, this is AM 580 Agriculture Director Dave Dickey. Join the 13 people that have already contributed to AM 580 Agriculture during the closing market report to get into Dave's back pocket. $250 on the line when we hear from 25 agricultural supporters by 3 o'clock at 217-244-9455. Wanted to thank Vince McGinnis of Pontiac, Randall and Gail Siebert of Hudson, Terry and Carol Sagebrunch of Morris, Timothy Kenny of Mahomet, and Brett Becker of Harris for being agricultural supporters this afternoon. The number again, 217-244-9455, $250. When we hear from 25 agricultural listeners this afternoon out of Dave Dickey's Uncle Dave's back pocket.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
This is the Closing Mark Report on a Monday afternoon. Greg Johnson of the Andersons is on the line with us to talk about the agricultural cash grain markets. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Thanks for all the work you guys do out there for us. We appreciate it a lot. Tell me about cash grain movement this week when we've had producers sitting on the sidelines getting their planters ready.
Well, that's exactly what's happened. The farmers are sitting on the sidelines. Corn basis is up 2 cents from a week ago, which is about as expected as the futures markets go down. Farmers become reluctant sellers and basis levels go up. We've seen basis levels on beans skyrocket with this inverse in the old crop, new crop bean spread. This week we took a little breather. Elevators and processors have swapped their bid. Now they're bidding versus the July futures, which hasn't gone up as much as the May futures. Down at the Gulf of Mexico, we've seen values trade about 3 cents lower this week, but they're still very, very high compared to normal for this time of year. So corn basis is a little bit better from a week ago. Bean basis is a little bit weaker from a week ago.
And given the norm, what do you think producers have left in their bin, both corn and soybeans? More than usual?
Corn, yes. Probably 30% of the corn is left, and some estimates I've heard are even higher than that. I guess it probably depends on the region and what basis levels are doing, how strong basis levels are to encourage some movement. Beans, though, I would say less than normal. We planted less bean acres last year for one, and then people sold more on a rally last summer. So I think there's just less beans left to sell than we normally do this time of year.
And what are your bids for the day?
Cash corn tonight, 363. New corn, 364. Cash beans, 1011. New crop 858 and new crop wheat 426.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Greg Johnson of the Andersons. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report each and every Monday afternoon. If you haven't done so yet, please do dial this number, 217-244-9455. That's 217-244-WILL. Or visit the website at willpledge.org, O-R-G, and hit the button up there at the top to power WILL with your financial support. Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express are all accepted. Cash is king. You can write a check if you'd like. Make sure you tell them you're supporting the Closing Mark Report and agriculture at WILL, 217-244-9455. And if you do it this afternoon, you'll get into Director of Ag Programming Dave Dickey's back pocket for an extra $250. Back in 2 minutes when we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. This is the Closing Market Report.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. A final count of votes in Champaign County tomorrow will bring some resolution to a school board race in Champaign that was initially decided by 3 votes. Steve Glanuskog edged out Lynn Stuckey in the election night count 2 weeks ago for the 3rd available seat on the Unit 4 school board. Tomorrow afternoon, the county clerk's office will do a final canvass that includes any late ballots that came in from absentee voting. Chicago officials say talks calling on a $2.5 billion deal to lease Midway Airport to private investors have now collapsed because of the economy. The deal could have made Midway the first major airport to go private under a federal pilot program. Chicago Chief Financial Officer Gene Saffold said today the city and private investors terminated a 99-year lease agreement because the global financial crunch has made it impossible for investors to secure funding. Saffold says the city of Chicago still will keep $126 million in earnest money that's already been paid by investors as part of the agreement. Last month, city officials said they were willing to give investors more time. Environmentalists say central Indiana's White River is the cleanest it's been in decades. Friends of the White River spokesman Kevin Hardy says more people have grown to appreciate the river as it's been cleaned up and new recreational opportunities have been added. Illinois Governor Pat Quinn is getting money back from Uncle Sam. Quinn released his 2008 income tax forms today, and they show he's to receive a $9,000 refund. The Chicago Democrat paid more than $28,000 in federal taxes last year and claimed wages of just over $120,000. Last year's returns cover Quinn's time as Illinois' lieutenant governor. Quinn didn't become governor until this January. His tax records show he donated more than $12,000 to charity. Financial literacy is more important than ever, especially for college students and their families. So says Parkland College President Tom Ramage, who's on the board overseeing Money Smart Week. It's an annual series of local classes and events put on by the Chicago Federal Reserve in an effort to help people with money management questions such as saving, investing, and using credit. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason on the line with us this afternoon to talk about the agricultural weather forecast as Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It was a really wet Sunday here and a pretty darn wet weekend altogether. How much rainfall did we get in relative terms across the Midwest and who was dry?
Well, looking at the Midwest with this rain event, which is still ongoing across portions of the eastern Midwest, totals ranged anywhere from a quarter, half inch on the light side to some areas of central Illinois and some pockets of Indiana, Ohio, getting upwards to 1.5, even over 2 inches. That was more so in pockets rather than anything widespread, but if you average everything out in general, it was about 3/4 of an inch across much of the Midwest. The one area, though, that did miss out, at least on real heavier precip, was the northwestern Midwest in areas of Minnesota, the Dakotas, and even on across Iowa, where totals were primarily less than 1/4 of an inch. And so that was our rain event here that, well, still is going to be ongoing here through tomorrow.
Through tomorrow, and then do we dry out? There was some chance of that. Tell me that's the case.
Yeah, Todd, it does look like the pattern here is breaking, and we do see an extended stretch of drier weather, especially for the southern areas of the Corn Belt, and that will start here tomorrow in the western areas and then continue through the upcoming weekend. And that is the next time frame when another system is projected to cross across the region. However, at this time, it doesn't appear like any kind of significant, at least any kind of major widespread rain event across much of the Midwest. So we do see more open days here coming up. The pattern is not totally dry across the Corn Belt for an extended period of time, but certainly less active and more open days here coming up, which will help improve overall planting progress.
Anything more about the Midwestern weather you wanted to talk about or other parts of the globe that you've been watching?
Yeah, we continue to monitor the situation across China, where actually conditions for winter wheat development and corn and soybean planting are very, very good. And overall, great rain event is actually occurring right now across eastern China, and temperatures have been warm previous to this rain event. So they're actually starting off their planting season in very good shape across that area.
Thank you very much for joining us today, Mark.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy out of Chicago, Illinois, and joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Monday afternoon. We've got a number for you to dial. I'll tell you about that in just a moment.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Here's a number I'd like you to dial. It's 217-244-9455 to pledge your financial support for the Closing Mark Report. It is, after all, a productive partnership with you, the listener, and about 30% or so of the money that is used to produce it and other programming comes from you, the listener. And Dave Dickey is here with us. He's got an update of where the numbers are on our afternoon programming so far.
Well, we've heard from 15 agricultural supporters during the show, so 10 to go to meet Dave Dickey's challenge to get into his back pocket. 217-244-9455 is the number to call.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report.